Hello, human beings. Once again, it's me, you know who. The December 20th pre-Christmas delivered again addendum/... little Saigon report. And I don't know how long this one will be. It is December the 20th, as I said. A few days left to get that special somebody, something special for Christmas, you know, to be their own special little Santa Claus. But, yeah, December the 20th, 2018. I was thinking about this question of motivations, because when you think about people, forces, agents operating on behalf of evil, you have to ask about motivations because they do apply. I mean, I don't know. I'm a human being. I am far from perfect. I sin. I think my motivations are pretty straightforward. I don't have that many sins, and those sins aren't really that extravagant. If I could attain some reasonable middle class proximity of an existence, which really no longer exists, I'd probably be quite happy. But yeah, you know, my motivations are pretty basic. I'd like to have a job that doesn't make me crazy. I'd like to be able to live in a world where, as long as I'm not hurting somebody else, I'm allowed to do whatever it is I want to do. To live in a free world, that would be great. That's my main motivation. But it's kind of crazy because it's never going to happen. But when I think about the people, you know, quote unquote, the people that run the world, and this is the conspiracy theory, right? The conspiracy theory that there's this cadre of people at some level, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the CIA, the Federal Reserve, all the bankers, the Jews. Oh my God, I went there. I don't actually believe it, so going there doesn't really do anything for anybody. But the point is, yeah, there's this kind of, you know, I don't know. There's this kind of this concept of the people, the dark forces. And for me, I don't know that I think it's that sinister or that complicated, or even if there is a conspiracy per se. I mean, for me, the Antichrist is, in its purest sense, government. Almost in any form, government becomes almost pretty much evil overnight. Because again, there's a big difference between cooperation and compulsion. If I'm pointing a gun at your head and saying, you must do this or else I'm going to kill you, there's a big difference between that or leading, or, you know, leading by example and saying, hey, let's go solve this problem. Like if a town has a problem and they actually needed to build a road, like, okay, we're in the musical Maroads and they need to build a road, they can do so by forcibly extracting wealth from people, aka theft. Or they can do so by convincing people, you know, to change. So when I look at the world today, you know, I know the people who are in charge believe in tyranny and compulsion. And I think that they are quite evil people. In terms of motivations, their motivations might be just fairly straightforward. But one of them might be, and I've been thinking a lot about this, because when I used to be an atheist, I would ponder this thought. And it is the secular question of immortality. You know, Ray Kurzweil, in his concept of the singularity, believes that we will reach a point in terms of technology where, with like nanotechnology, tiny little machines cleaning your body, fixing your body, providing energy for your body, essentially keeping you from growing old, that they'll basically fix every problem. And we'll fuse with computers, so we'll be super intelligent. So we'll have, you know, immortality and super intelligence. And if you look at the world through the lens of Ray Kurzweil and the singularity, it seems like we're going to reach a point where you really do have secular immortality, which is really the offering of the devil. Ultimately, the devil makes many offers. There are many lies that are told, right? But probably one of the most insidious is the one that has to do with life itself, that if I follow Satan, I will achieve a different kind of immortality. So that's really it. I mean, here's the hypothetical. And this is not technology that I think is decades away. This is technology that might exist right now. Imagine if two things were true. A, that it were possible to clone a version of you, whatever age you're at. Let's say you're 30 years old, you're 40 years old. You can clone a version of you and rapidly grow it to a specific, and B, you could rapidly grow it to a specific age. So you could clone a version of yourself, A, and B, you could rapidly grow it to some age, let's say 25 or 30. And so within a month, you could have a clone of yourself. Of course, it's going to have a central nervous system, a brain, but the brain won't really have any input or something, and they'll stimulate the muscles. You know, again, they'll probably just cut the brain out that's there, and they'll take the brain out of your body. They'll do a surgery. They've got all your neurons mapped, all the pathways, and they'll just splice your brain, essentially, onto the central nervous system of this 25-year-old version, healthy version of yourself that's disease-free. And then imagine that you have all those nanotechnologies that could just keep you at that age, keep you healthy and clean. Is that the ideal life? Is that the life you'd want? You know, it's one of those things where people say to themselves, what does it mean to live forever? You know, for me, it's an imponderable. I'll admit this. I've come to accept the possibility that there are concepts in the world that by faith, by the nature of faith, are probably going to be imponderable. Like the age of the universe. How old is the universe? Well, infinity is a number that is, in fact, you know, just a place marker for something that we can't really ponder. It is an imponderable. You know, how powerful is God? Well, that, you know, take how powerful God is and then add one to it, and that's still less powerful. This is the thing. These things are imponderable. There is no way to really conceive of them. But if some doctor or professor or engineer says, listen, if you drink, not drink, but if you inject yourself with the blood of children, and this is going on, like there are actual rich people in the world today taking young blood. And again, I don't think they're going out and forming gangs and stealing it like vampires yet, but they're taking it and, you know, doing transfusions with the blood of children. And yeah, there's evidence to show that this helps, like it improves their overall health and whatnot, but it seems wrong to me. I don't know if it seems wrong to you. I don't know if you say, well, Dan, you're being too judgmental. And then you go to the scenario of, well, what if they cloned you? Because again, we're not talking about aborting a fetus here. We're not talking about that. We're talking about taking essentially stem cells from you and cloning, and you know, it's going to be completely 100% from you. So there's no other life is harmed. You will simply gain new life from science and technology. Which again, if you know, I laugh also because I think a lot of this is bullshit. Like, if I am to believe the propaganda, we are relatively close to technology like this. But then there's this other part of me that says, Dan, wait a minute, you're being way too naive. So much of science fiction and technology journalism, which I use that in the same sentence on purpose, so much of technology journalism and also science fiction is designed around reinforcing this notion that at some point in the near future, we will have no problems. It'll be all post-scarcity. Our worst problem will be robots, because robots will have the power of post-scarcity and therefore will be able to reproduce themselves by the millions and be super powerful for free. All of this is designed to make us feel better. So what if this whole notion of immortality is just simply the same thing? I kind of believe it is. Like, I don't actually believe there's any there. I think Ray Kurzweil might believe it. I mean, again, he's a brilliant man. And just because you're brilliant at a number of things doesn't mean you're wise or brilliant about everything. Just because he does have a record of being a genius does not imply he knows the future. So the singularity might occur. We might be facing a great discontinuity, which is what I think is more likely. A period of essentially rapid, uncontrolled, discontinuous change, which is scary because discontinuous systems are not really predictable, not using any conventional mathematics. You know, the thing about the singularity is that it all sort of is like the smoothness of the continuum of the function. Like for someone who, you know, has an affinity for and a love for the calculus, will notion that the singularity occurs almost like a limit process. But in a discontinuous system, it's just very ugly. And if I look at the future today, it looks like more of a series of discontinuous events, all of which will make the different possible futures more profundent, is a nice way of putting it. We'll have a lot more possible futures than we could realize. I don't think they're all going to be that great. I think most of them are going to be quite difficult, trying. I'm trying to use language that isn't too scary, but most of the possible futures are going to be a real challenge for the human race. But yeah, when I think about the motivation of people who run the world, or the rich people, or whatever you want to call them, the elite, when I think about their motivation, maybe one of the most powerful motivations they have is the desire for the secular scientific equivalent of immortality. And if I ask myself, would I want that? Like, is it in my heart? Do I want to live forever? Well, here's what I'll say after drinking some water. If I want to live forever in heaven, I don't want to live forever in hell. I don't believe that there's purgatory. I think that's part of the many Roman Catholic schemes of the Middle Ages. Purgatory is very much just a scheme, a way of grifting people. It's very much related to the concept of indulgences. I believe there's heaven. I believe there's hell. I'd rather spend my, eternity in heaven. I don't know how much longer I'll have on planet Earth. I'm almost 50. If I live a really healthy life, physically and mentally, which, given my track record, doesn't seem that likely. But let's say I live this really healthy, happy life. I might live another 30 years, right? Maybe a little bit longer, but probably 30 years, probably a little less. You know, I read about this Russian woman, or I think she was Caucasian, but this woman in essentially Central Asia a while back, she was like supposedly the oldest woman in the world, 120 some years old or something, just really, really old. And she claimed she hadn't had one happy day in her life, that her life had been miserable, one miserable day after another, every day worse than the one before. Basically, I mean, she just described as being pretty, pretty terrible. And yet she lived to be more than a century, more than 100 years old. So I'm not really clear on the notion that being positive is the key to a long life. You know, I think God has a sense of humor, and it's entirely plausible that he allows the pessimists like myself, the skeptics, to spend a little bit longer here than we would probably prefer. But yeah, I'm not a young person, so it's not like I'm going to be here indefinitely. And if someone offered me immortality in the physical sense, and I don't mean, you know, I mean actual immortality, like the ability to live a healthy life at some younger age. Like, I wouldn't want it to be my age right now. I'd say, like, you know, subtract 20 years. And let me be 28 years old for the rest of my life, you know, or forever, right? That would be hard to turn down. It would be hard to turn down if it was real. Let's talk about something I think is not real. The functional equivalence argument of the simulated brain. The argument that, well, we can map your brain, we can compute your brain, we can data mine your brain, we can know the complete topology, the complete network model of your entire brain, and we can put that into a computer. And then once it's in the computer, if you die, you'll still exist in the computer. You know, this, and because it's equivalent functionally, you'll somehow be the same. And your consciousness will do some type of magical thingy. Who knows? I mean, here's the thing. I think that there are people who will come along and they'll, I don't think we're that far away either. I think some of these massive brain mapping projects are kind of related to this. But someone's going to come along and say, well, you know, Dan, we can map your brain. And once we've mapped it, we can just put you into a computer and then you can just be there. And that's, and that'll be so much better. You know, you can be in a robot body and you'll have superpowers or whatever. You can run really fast, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that'll be true. But the point is, it'll be seductive. They'll offer you a virtual world of almost perfection. And they'll say, well, it'll be really good for the environment because you'll use so many fewer resources just being this disembodied electronic pattern in a machine. And, you know, again, we got some crazy philosophy that says you might as well, it doesn't matter. Functional equivalence, right? It's the same thing. Well, it's not. And this is the thing about these lies, that these lies are going to kill a lot of people. A lot of people are going to think that their souls are being put into a computer, but in reality, they're just being killed. And in truth, one could wonder how that particular death gets interpreted at the gates of heaven, because if you're going to allow your physical body to be destroyed for the deception, for the siren call of this false god, if you're going to say, well, I'll let my body be destroyed because they're going to take my consciousness and put it in a computer, then yeah, you're going to die, but you're not going to, I think that you're going to have problems on the other side. So that's the thing. I think that immortality is being offered, and maybe above all else, maybe there are people who are simply just afraid because they know that there's going to be a reckoning. There's been a fair amount of evil committed by people of means and resources in the last century or so, that if you're just looking at it from the perspective of the evil rich person, why wouldn't you say to yourself, well, there could be a hell and I'm probably going there. So the one way to avoid hell is to live in the physical world forever, to not die. So I can see this. I can see the seduction. I can see the allure. I can understand why there are shows now like Westworld on HBO that go beyond just the AI thing, but talk about this notion of downloading human consciousness into a computer. It sounds so possible, but it might actually be, like I said, you know, a false god, a false prophet, a false message. It could be a great deception. Probably is. Anywho, I don't know if I think I've talked about this whole issue of immortality enough. No, I don't want my consciousness downloaded into a machine. There's actually an H.P. Lovecraft story, sort of. It's more about a brain in a special jar or canister. But there's an H.P. Lovecraft story called Whisperers in the Darkness, and it's kind of about aliens that sort of convince this dude to basically put his brain in a jar so he could travel to their planet and do other cosmic shit. I have to say, when I was younger, because of my isolation, which as I get older really hasn't changed, I was extremely sympathetic, especially in my deep, deep Germanic philosophy days, of just having my brain live in a jar, like just be in a jar, you know, just thinking. Thinking was awesome. It didn't involve any messy human bullshit. Just think and think and think. Which these days I do a lot to do the opposite, to not think, which I know sounds terrible, but actually a great survival mechanism to figure out ways to not think. It's not good. It's just what it is. Anywho, it's Thursday, December the 20th, 2018, as I said, and it's almost Christmas, so have a happy kind of holiday season, Christmas season. I don't think it has much to do with Jesus these days, but it has a lot to do with something.